What's coming today is John 16, and we're going to be in verses 5 through 15 this morning. And if you have your copy of the scriptures, please get a hold of that and open up to John 16. If you're using one of the Bibles in the pew ahead of you there, or not the pew, it's not a pew, it's a chair, in the chair rack ahead of you, it's page number 1678. We'll go ahead and read through this together. The words, if you don't have a Bible with you, the words will be up on the screen and you can read them with us. Will you please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word as we read together? John 16 verses 5 through 15. Now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for how you have spoken through it. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is just as much a part of you as Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that as we open your word today and as I speak, Lord, that the words of my mouth would not be my own, but that they would be yours. And that they would go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in the life of each one of us today. So that we might be changed into the image of your Son Jesus. Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to what you have to say. And that we would not only hear it, but Lord, that we would be obedient to it. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning, we're going to be talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. If you didn't notice in the songs that we were singing, focused a lot on the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's about and what he's doing. I think sometimes that the Holy Spirit is kind of regulated to that weird uncle that is in the family, and we all acknowledge that he's in the family, but nobody talks about him because nobody really understands him, right? Because there's some misconceptions about the way the Spirit works, or maybe the gifts of the Spirit, we tend to downplay his role in our lives. But the truth of the matter is this, that the Holy Spirit is vital to your Christian life. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit is vital to your Christian life. Because the Spirit, as we learn from other parts of Scripture, is that part of God that actually takes up residence inside of us. You know, we tell kids, ask Jesus into your heart. But we're not necessarily asking. I mean, I understand what that means in theory. But what we're doing is we're opening our lives to the Spirit to take control. Paul talks about living a life that is in step with the Spirit, to allow the Spirit to control our life rather than our own fleshly desires. And Jesus here is promising to his disciples that even though he is leaving, he is going to send the Holy Spirit to them. Look at what he says here. We're going to see, first of all, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit's origin. You know, now, if you're into superheroes and that kind of thing, one of the things that I love about comic books is reading origin stories. Where did the Batman come from? Why is he so weird and doing the things that he's doing? What prompted all that? or different origin stories of different heroes, and even some origin stories from the villains and mindset and that kind of thing are very interesting to me, but maybe not to you. But here, we're going to look at the origin of the Spirit. Look at what Jesus says in verse 5. Once again, he says, I'm going to him who sent me. That's the Father. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? And because I've said this, because I've said these things, you are filled with grief. Jesus is going away. His disciples are hearing these words from the mouth of Jesus. I am not going to be with you very much longer. In fact, if you remember, many of the times that Jesus is speaking here from chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, Jesus is telling them, I am going away. I am going to prepare a place for you. I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving you as orphans. I will come to you, he says. No one asked Jesus, where are you going? This kind of seems like a weird statement at the beginning here, why Jesus would necessarily say that. But what Jesus is stating is that they know it's true deep down that he's going away. They kind of have this sense, because Jesus has been talking, he hasn't kept it hidden from them. He's told them, I'm going to Jerusalem, and when I'm in Jerusalem, I'm going to be betrayed to the chief priests, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to die, and on the third day I'm going to rise again. If you look at the chronology of the Gospels, he said it more than once to the disciples. And if you remember, the first time he says it, Peter does what? He rebukes Jesus and says, no, you're not going to die. He might even look at him and go, shut your mouth, you know. And Jesus says, what does Jesus say to Peter? He says, get behind me, Satan. Not too long ago, we were talking about some of the things that Jesus called Peter. And I said, he called him Satan. You know, at one point he called him Satan. He said, get behind me, Satan. You don't have the things in mind of God. You have the things of this world in mind. So they kind of have this idea what's going on. And the news is disturbing to them. It's troubling them. They're deep down in their hearts, they're filled with grief, Jesus says in verse 6. They don't want Jesus to go. How many of you have had friends who you knew, or maybe family members who you knew were going to leave, either through death or to move to another part of the country, and you weren't going to see them as often? It hurts. It's tough. It's difficult. You love them and you want them to be near you, but there's a time for, especially with children, we're kind of facing that right now, that they've got to go. They've got to spread their wings and fly, and Jesus is leaving, and they don't want Jesus to go because they love him. They might have thought here that he was going to run away because there was one who was seeking to betray him. You know, as Jesus says, I'm going to go away. Maybe they're thinking, okay, all right, Jesus is going to run away, and then he's going to hide for a while and be gone. We're not going to see him, but he's going to come back. Maybe they're thinking that. I don't know. But the news that he was going away troubled them. It filled them with grief, Jesus says. But it was good that Jesus was going away so that he could send someone else. He says, to tell you the truth, it's good for you that I am going to go away, because unless I go away, if I don't go away, I can't send you the Spirit, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who sends the Holy Spirit to the disciples. And guess what? Here's a neat bit of theology for you. Jesus is the one who sends the Holy Spirit to you when you come to him in faith. And so you have the Spirit take up residence inside of you. Now here's something that the disciples didn't get, because it didn't happen right away. The disciples had to wait for a period of about 45, 50 days until the day of Pentecost, after Passover, after Jesus rose from the dead. They had to wait. Now they had Jesus for 40 days, and then he ascended, and then they went back to Jerusalem, and they were hanging out there until the Spirit came. And then on Pentecost, the Spirit falls, and now the Spirit takes up residence in each one of them, and what do? Well, they proceed to turn Jerusalem upside down, and for a while everything's great. But then persecution comes, and they're spread out into Samaria, and everything's good for a while. But then more persecution comes, and they're spread out even further, and they begin to go to the whole world as Jesus said they would. Why? Because they were great men? That's a rhetorical, you could answer that, because the answer is no. It's because the Holy Spirit inside of them. And so Jesus is saying to them, look, I'm telling you these things, because if I go away, then I'll send the Spirit. So the origin of the Spirit is what? Jesus. Awesome. So that's where the Spirit comes from. Now, let's look at the Holy Spirit's purpose. Verse 8. When the Spirit comes, when the Counselor comes, when the Holy Spirit comes on you and comes to this earth, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. So the first purpose of the Spirit is to convict the world of guilt in three areas, okay? And Jesus explains them a little more to us here. He says that He will convict the world of guilt for sin. Why? He says, because men do not believe in Me. So what this is saying here, the reason for this conviction is that men live their lives not believing in who Jesus is. They have heard what Jesus has said. They have heard what Jesus has done. But they reject Him. And so they are given over to this, to the sin, to the guilt. And the Spirit comes to convict them of guilt. Now listen, let me just say this. Rejecting Christ, not believing that Jesus is who He claims to be, all right? Rejecting Christ, that is, listen to me, that is the unpardonable sin when it comes to the end of your life. It is the only sin that matters. If you reject Jesus and you come to the end of your life continuing to reject Him, you are lost. What the Holy Spirit does here in convicting the world of guilt in regards to sin is He is basically, what He's doing is He is trying to draw the unbeliever, those who have yet to follow Christ, to believe in who Christ is. Does it make sense? So that guilt in regards to sin is for those who do not believe. To help them come to an understanding of who Jesus is and receive Him and believe on Him. And as the Scriptures say, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. So, that's the first purpose, is to draw people to Christ by convicting them of their sins. Secondly, He convicts the world of guilt in regards to righteousness. He says, in regard to righteousness, because, this is verse 10, because I am going to the Father where you can see Me no longer. Now this gets a little tricky. The reason for this conviction has to do with helping those who do follow Christ to live more like Jesus. As a believer, those of you who are believers, think about this for a minute. You're going through your life, you're going through your day, and something happens and you do something that you know you shouldn't be doing. Fill in the blank of whatever it might be. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Okay? You've had that feeling before? If you're a follower of Christ, I hope you have that feeling often. Okay? Because what that is that's the Holy Spirit fulfilling His purpose in the life of the believer to convict you when you're not being the righteous person that God wants you to be. Does it make sense? So in regards to righteousness, the Spirit brings us to a point so that we live like Christ. Jesus says, I am going away and you can see Me no longer. See, when Jesus was with them, it was easy to copy Him. Okay, He did this, we're going to do this. He did that, we're going to do that. Once they get out of Jerusalem and out of Judea and Samaria into the uttermost parts of the earth and begin working with Gentiles, Jesus never worked with Gentiles. Okay? He never had significant ministry among Gentiles. Now, he talked to Gentiles, and he did a miracle for a couple of them, but there wasn't a sustained ministry. So when they got out there, now who are they relying on? They're not relying on Jesus. I mean, they are relying on Jesus, but they're not relying on what they saw Jesus do as a form of imitation. They're now relying on the Spirit to guide them to do what they need to do. So in regards to righteousness, the Spirit works in the life of the believer or the Christ follower to walk in the way that Jesus wants us to walk. Another word for this is conscience. We need to live sensitive to the Spirit. Otherwise, we can sear that conscience. We can quench the Spirit in our life and begin to live in ways habitually that we really shouldn't be living. Okay? So, in regards to righteousness, he convicts of guilt for sin. That's the unbeliever. For righteousness, that's the believer. And for judgment. The reason for this conviction is to help us know that the judgment of the judgment that is on Satan is already fixed and meted out. Jesus knows that from the moment Satan rebelled against God, his doom is sure. Look at what he says here in verse 11. He says, in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world, that's Satan, now stands condemned. Now here's an interesting thing. Jesus saying this, Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. Jesus hadn't purchased salvation for us yet, but yet Satan still stood condemned already. Why? Because he rebelled against God. And when Satan rebelled against God, there was no coming back from that. And his condemnation is done. It was meted out when he was cast to the earth. He is allowed to reign here on this earth, to have influence in this world. And he has great influence in this world, does he not? Oh, you can say amen to that because it's true. He has great influence in this world, but his condemnation is sure. It is complete and it is coming. And the Spirit reminds us of that. The Spirit reminds us that, look, as I walk through this world, yes, my enemy is great, but he is already defeated. And he was defeated from eternity past. Because God is sovereign and he will not share his glory with another. Okay? So, the Holy Spirit's purpose, the first part of the Holy Spirit's purpose is to convict the world of guilt, and that's every single person is included in that. The second thing that this Holy Spirit does is that he guides us into truth. Now look at what verse 12 says. Jesus says to them, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. He says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Again, this goes back to when we were talking about the conviction of guilt for righteousness. This is part of that. This is part of that. Because what Jesus is saying to them is, look, there's more I want to share with you, but the Spirit is going to help you remember the things that I said and help you to figure out how to flesh that out in your day-to-day life. And what that's going to look like and how to teach it to others. It is important. Listen, it is important for us as believers to allow the Spirit to remind us, to guide us into truth. What does that mean? Well, a number of things, but ultimately it means that when the Spirit comes to remind us of truth, that when we read God's Word, and the Gospels especially, but not exclusively, he then reminds us of what we know already as we live out our lives day to day. You know, we look at the disciples and we think, man, or the apostles, and we think, man, those guys, you know, it would have been awesome to have been them because they walked and talked with Jesus and they had that experience with him. But friends, let me tell you something. It's better for us because we have the Holy Spirit. Now, they did too eventually, but at this point they don't. But we have the Holy Spirit leading us into the truth of God's Word. And not just the New Testament, but the Old Testament as well. Now, let me just say some things here for those of you who look at the Old Testament and are kind of scared by books like Deuteronomy and Leviticus, okay? And some of these prophets in the major and minor prophets. One of the things that we need to begin to pray about, and we need, listen, it is not wrong to pray to the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you were singing this morning, you were praying to the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Because the Holy Spirit is God. He's part of the Trinity. We pray to God the Father, we pray to God the Son, and we can pray to God the Holy Spirit. And we should. We should come to Him and we should say, Spirit, I'm about to open God's Word here and I'm about to read it. And I desperately want to know how I should live today. Help me to understand it. Fulfill the promise of Jesus and guide me into your truth today. Guide me into God's truth today. And as we begin to read, it is awesome to begin to read the scriptures and be able to say, oh, wow, never saw that before. I've read this 100 times. I've never seen that before. That's so awesome. That's the Spirit at work. That is the Spirit guiding you into all truth. And Jesus also says, look at what he says here. At the end of verse 13, he says, he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. There is a sense in which the Spirit helps us to have insight into future things. Now, before your mind jumps to prophecy, that's not where I'm jumping right now, okay? Where I'm jumping is this. The Spirit helps you. He will tell you what is yet to come. I would classify this not necessarily as prophecy. I would classify this as wisdom. Having wisdom to know, okay, I'm seeing what's laying out before me. These are the circumstances I find myself in. How do I respond to these circumstances? That's the Spirit helping you to see what's to come and how to respond. And how to respond biblically. How to respond in a godly way. That's wisdom. And that's what the Spirit does for us. That's His purpose. That's why He was sent. To help us, to guide us into truth, to guide us into wisdom, to help us know how we should live. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen? Amen. So we've talked about the Spirit's origin. We talked about the Holy Spirit's purpose. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit's quality. And these aren't all point one. I don't know who made this PowerPoint, but it should be point three, because that's where we're at. It was me. Verse 14, look at what Jesus has to say here. We're going to talk about His quality. He says, He will bring glory to me. The Spirit will bring glory to Christ by taking from what is Christ's and making it known to you. Listen, the very first quality that we see of the Spirit is that He brings Christ glory. Now, we're going to get into something here, and please, I don't mean to offend, but I want to be very clear in what I'm talking about here. There are people in our world who will tell you that something going on in their life or in their ministry, this is from the Spirit of God. Okay? There's a way you can tell if what that person is saying is true. This is number one. If the glory for what is happening is going to a person, it is not from the Spirit. Because the Spirit will do nothing that brings glory to a person. Now, there may be honor to that person. There might be, you might look at that person and say, wow, what a great follower of Christ. But that person will ultimately give glory back to God. Amen. Amen. When I think of this, I think of Billy Graham. I really do. Here's a man who has lived his entire life preaching the gospel to people who don't have the gospel. Millions and millions of people have responded to the message of the gospel through Billy Graham. And there are people who have held Billy Graham in honor and have raised him up. But he is constantly saying, This is not to my glory. This is for the glory of Christ. Friends, that is the Holy Spirit at work through the life of a person. Okay? So if a person is receiving glory, probably not of the Spirit. The second thing that I want to say this is that sometimes something happens and the glory goes to an organization or to a church. And while that's cool and that's great that people say, oh yeah, look at what's happening over there at Grace Evangelical Free Church. That's wonderful. We need to be careful that we don't say, yeah, what a great church we are, because I think we are a great church, but it's not because of how great of a church we are that these things are happening. It's because of the Spirit of God. Amen. And so glory to Christ. Amen. Right? So if the glory is going to an organization or to a church, probably not from the Spirit. Whatever the Holy Spirit is doing in the life of a person or in the life of a church, He will always bring glory to Christ. Always. Okay? Now that means a couple of things. Look at quality two. He gives what belongs to Christ. He says, at the end of verse 14, He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Jesus said earlier in, I think it was in chapter 15, might have been chapter 14, where He says to the disciples, you will do even greater things than I have done. And guess what? They did greater things than Jesus did. Jesus' ministry was in about a 100-mile radius area of Israel. That's where His ministry was. The apostles, they were all over the place, man. Some of them went to Asia Minor. Some of them went to, you know, other side of the Jordan River and off that way. Some of them went off into the Mediterranean Sea and off into Rome and Spain and other places. And all of this for the glory of God. And Jesus is saying, the Spirit takes what is mine and He gives it to you. All right? And that brings glory to Christ. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. We know that, right, from Matthew chapter 28. And the Spirit is the one who gives that authority to us. How awesome. Because the Spirit is with us, we now have the authority of Christ to do the things that Christ wants us to do. Look at verse 15. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. He gives what belongs to the Father as well. Now, follow me here. All of this that the Spirit does in His purpose, in giving what belongs to Christ, giving what belongs to the Father, He is giving to us so that we might be equipped to do the work that He has called us to do. The Holy Spirit, listen to me, the Holy Spirit is the power behind anything that you or I do for Christ. It's not us. And this is what Paul is talking about when he talks about living our life by the Spirit. It is dependence on that Spirit that helps us to accomplish the tasks that He has planned for you and me. So, let's apply what we have learned just a little bit, okay? Three challenges for you today. First, I want us to challenge us to not forget that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, okay? Let's not forget that the Holy Spirit is not that weird uncle that everyone knows but no one talks about. He is God. And so we need to embrace the Spirit and understand that when we're led in our life into truth, when we're led in our life to speak to someone or to say something, that's the Spirit at work in us. And we should rejoice and praise Him in that. Okay? Don't forget the Spirit. Secondly, we need to ask Him to do His thing. Let me explain that just a bit. There is power when we come on our knees to God, to the Spirit, and we say, Holy Spirit, do what only You can do. Now, be ready when you pray that prayer. Because who is the Spirit? He's God. How much power does God have? All power. So when we get down on our knees and we say, Spirit, do what only you can do, there is power in that prayer. And God, when God moves, when the Spirit moves, you know, we read in the book of Acts that when the Spirit came upon the apostles in Acts chapter 2, that the house that they were in, the room that they were in, began to shake because of the power of the Spirit coming down upon that room. Wouldn't that be awesome if the Holy Spirit were to come to our church, to our little room here, and began to shake it violently because the Spirit was moving so much in the life of each of our... You know, we don't... Yes, it would be awesome. But I don't think we need that now. Because we have the Spirit, folks. He is alive in you. And if you are willing to tap into that power and say prayers like, God, do your work. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. And we say, Lord, okay, we prayed this morning for a man who is asking for prayer that his wife would walk again. Doctors are saying there's no way she's going to walk again. But we can get down on our knees and say, Holy Spirit, the doctors are saying this woman is never going to walk again, but you can make her walk. In the power of the blood of Jesus and in His name, you can make her walk again. Amen. That's the power that's available. Now, is that going to happen? I don't know. God does what God does, but we pray, God, do what you are going to do. Use us in any way that you want us to be used. And we begin to listen. Okay. Sometimes you may notice that when I pray to begin the message, the sermons, I include a request that the Holy Spirit would take the words that are said and use them to help us become more like Christ. I pray that every Sunday, or I try to remember to pray that every Sunday. And I pray that because without the Holy Spirit's work here, might as well just go home. Because words I got to say are worthless outside of the power of the Spirit. And I'm not saying that I'm anything special. You're just listening to some human being yap for 20 to 30 minutes without the Spirit. Thirdly, we need to mimic the Spirit's quality. We need to mimic His qualities of reflecting the glory to Christ. Taking what we receive from Christ and giving it away to other people. Taking what we receive from the Lord and giving it away. How do we do that? How do we do that? Well, reflecting the glory to Christ, that's easy, right? Lord, you be praised. And again, it's not a false humility. It's not doing something, you know, like Ingrid was up here playing the piano beautifully today. Praise God for that. And we could come to her and say, Ingrid, you did a great job, you know. And it's not her saying, no, all glory to God, all glory to God. That tends to be more holier than thou. But to receive that praise and say, thank you for that encouragement. And then maybe even in the quietness of my heart saying, God, thank you for the ability that you've given me and for the opportunity to praise you by playing the piano today. And that's just in Ingrid's case. So, Ingrid, you know how to respond when people tell you you did a good job. But seriously, we reflect that praise to God. And when God gives us insight through His Word, when God gives it away to us, then we give it to someone else. Whether it's a call to a believing friend and say, hey, I was just doing my devotions. This is what the Lord showed me today. Or a spouse. I was just reading in Deuteronomy, and this is what God showed me. Or just reading in the book of Joel, and this is what I saw, and it's awesome. But we need to mimic the Spirit and the quality of the Spirit in our own lives. When we do this, when we live this out in our lives, we will see the Spirit become so much more than just that weird uncle or cousin that no one talks about. We're going to see Him become an integral part of our lives as He leads us in paths we need to walk, all for the glory of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for Your Spirit. Thank You that Jesus sent Him to us. And thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to live by His power. And I pray, Lord, that as we walk in our lives today, that Your Spirit would lead us, that Your Spirit would show us who we need to talk to, what we need to say, that Your Spirit, that we would reflect the glory back to You, that we would take what You give us and give it to others, Lord, that in all of the things that we say and on all the things that we do, Your Spirit would be in control of everything. Lord, do in our lives what only You can do. Spirit, do in our church what only You can do. Spirit, use us. Use me in a way that only You can, so that this world might see who Christ is and come to know Him. So that Your conviction of their guilt in regard to sin might be evident, so that they might be drawn to You. So that other believers might see Christ in me and be drawn to live more righteously. And Lord, help us to always remember that Satan stands condemned. He is a defeated foe. And the Spirit is stronger. That greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We love You, Lord. Be with us. Spirit, go before us and use us. In Jesus' name, amen.